The Blessings of Eternal Glory, President Joseph Fielding Smith, Joseph Fielding Smith, Conference Report, October 1965, pages 27-30. My dear brethren and sisters, I hope and pray that what I shall say may be uplifting to one and all. I have many letters cross my desk in regard to the subject which I shall discuss, the blessings of eternal glory, the privilege of mortal bodies. Nothing should be held in greater sacredness and honor than the covenant by which the spirits of man, the offspring of God in the Spirit, are privileged to come into this world in mortal tabernacles. It is through this principle that the blessing of immortal glory is made possible. The greatest punishment ever given was proclaimed against Lucifer and his angels. To be denied the privilege of mortal bodies forever is the greatest curse of all. These spirits have no progression, no hope of resurrection and eternal life. Doomed are they to eternal misery for their rebellion. And then to think that we are not only privileged but commanded to assist our Father in the great work of redemption by giving to his children, as we have obtained these blessings for ourselves, the right to life and to continue on forever in perfection. No innocent soul should be condemned to come into this world under a handicap of illegitimacy. Every child has the right to be well born. Every individual who denies a child this right is guilty of a mortal sin. Resurrection to immortality. The importance of these mortal tabernacles is apparent from the knowledge we have of eternal life. Spirits cannot be made perfect without a body of flesh and bones. This body and its spirit are brought to immortality and blessings of salvation through the resurrection. After the resurrection there can be no separation again. Body and spirit become inseparably connected that man may receive a fullness of joy. In no other way, other than through birth into this life and the resurrection, can spirits become like our eternal Father. Purity of life. Since the kingdom of God is built upon the foundation of marriage and the unity of the family circle, there can be no satisfaction where the family circle is broken. Every soul is entitled to the right to come into this world in a legitimate way, in the way the Father has willed that souls should come. Whosoever takes a course contrary to this is guilty of an almost irreparable crime. Is there any wonder, then, that the Lord places the violation of this covenant of marriage and the loss of virtue as second only to the shedding of innocent blood? Is there not, then, sufficient reason for the severity of the punishment which has been promised those who violate this eternal law? The demand for personal purity is made by the Church upon both men and women equally. There is no double standard of judgment. If purity of life is neglected, President Joseph F. Smith said once, all other dangers set in upon us like the rivers of waters when the floodgates are opened. Sexual impurity is a most deadly sin. There is a sin unto death, John informs us, and sexual impurity is one such sin unto death. President Brigham Young said that the world is fast coming to its destruction because of this. Learn the will of God, keep his commandments and do his will, and you will be a virtuous person. How wonderful is the peace and joy which fills the souls of the virtuous. How terrible are the torments of the unvirtuous. They shall have no place in the first resurrection. When the final judgment comes, they are they who remain filthy still. They cannot enter the holy city. They are the dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, who are cast out. Tabernacles for waiting spirits. When man was first placed upon this earth, he was given the commandment to be fruitful, and multiply. No more important commandment was ever given to man, for through honorable marriage are the spirits brought to earth. There are multitudes of pure and holy spirits waiting to take tabernacles. Now what is our duty? Said President Brigham Young. Then he answered his question, to prepare tabernacles for them, to take a course that will not tend to drive those spirits into the families of the wicked, where they will be trained in wickedness, debauchery, and every species of crime. It is the duty of every righteous man and woman to prepare tabernacles for all the spirits they can. Instructions were given to mothers of the Church by President Joseph F. Smith as follows. I think it is a crying evil that there should exist a sentiment or a feeling among any members of the Church to curtail the birth of their children. I think that is a crime wherever it occurs, where husband and wife are in possession of health and vigor and are free from impurities that would be entailed upon their posterity. I believe that where people undertake to curtail or prevent the birth of their children, that they are going to reap disappointment by and by. I have no hesitancy in saying that I believe this is one of the greatest crimes of the world today, this evil practice. That was the advice given to the Relief Society, the curse of prevention. When young people marry and refuse to fulfill this commandment given in the beginning of the world, and just as much enforced today, they rob themselves of the greatest eternal blessing. If the love of the world and the wicked practices of the world mean more to a man and a woman than to keep the commandment of the Lord in this respect, then they are shutting themselves off from the eternal blessing of increase. Those who willfully and maliciously design to break this important commandment shall be damned. They cannot have the Spirit of the Lord. Small families are the rule today. Husbands and wives refuse to take upon themselves the responsibilities of family life. Many of them do not care to be bothered with children. Yet this commandment given to Adam has never been abrogated or set aside. If we refuse to live by the covenants we make, especially in the house of the Lord, then we cannot receive the blessings of those covenants in eternity. If the responsibilities of parenthood are willfully avoided here, then how can the Lord bestow upon the guilty the blessings of eternal increase? It cannot be, and they shall be denied such blessings. Now I wish to ask a question. How will a young married couple feel when they come to the judgment and then discover that there were certain spirits assigned to them and they refuse to have them? Moreover, what will be their punishment when they discover that they have failed to keep a solemn covenant and spirits awaiting this mortal life were forced to come here elsewhere when they were assigned to this particular couple? The blessing of increase. In the next world we are to be judged by the things we do. We will also be punished for the things we should have done and did not do. May I make this personal remark? I am the father of 11 children, and to this day everyone is a faithful member of the church and all are active, for that is the way they were taught, and they were obedient. They will belong to me forever and are the foundation stones of my kingdom. My posterity reaches today over the 100 mark. I regret that so many young couples are thinking today more of successful contraceptives than of having a posterity. They will have to answer for their sin when the proper time comes and actually may be denied the glorious celestial kingdom. Teaching the sacredness of the marriage covenant, the world is rapidly coming to its end, that is, the end of the day of wickedness. When it is fully ripe in iniquity, the Lord will come in the cloud of heaven to take vengeance on the ungodly, for his wrath is kindled against them. Do not think that he delayeth his coming. Many of the signs of his coming have been given, so we may, if we will, know that the day is even now at our doors, and it shall come to pass, because of the wickedness of the world, that I will take vengeance upon the wicked. For they will not repent, for the cup of mine indignation is full, for behold my blood shall not cleanse them if they hear me not, so said the Son of God. May all Latter-day Saint fathers and mothers see to it that they teach their children the sacredness of the marriage covenant. Let them impress upon their children that in no other way than by honoring the covenants of God, among which the covenant of eternal marriage is one of the greatest and most mandatory, can they obtain the blessings of eternal lives. If they refuse to receive this ordinance and other blessings of the house of God, then shall they be cut off from these higher blessings. They shall wear no crown, they shall have no rule and sway no scepter, they shall be denied the fullness of knowledge and power, and, like the prodigal son, they may return again to their father's house, but it will be as servants, not to inherit as sons and daughters. If they will be true to these commandments, their glory and exaltation shall have no bounds, and all things are theirs. May we all be blessed with the Spirit of the Lord so that we may be directed in His ways, and may the Lord bless the young people starting out in life so that they may keep every commandment is my prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.